All right, if I can ask you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, and we'll read verses 14 to the last verse, verse 17. Second Timothy chapter number 3, we'll read verses 14 to 17. We'll read it all together at the same time, please. In verse 14, begin. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord God bless the reading of his word this afternoon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we come to thy throne of grace this afternoon, thanking you so much, Father, for your goodness, for your love and mercy and grace that's abundant to us in our lives, for your watch, care, and protection over us throughout the week, and even this day, Lord. We are thankful that you're always there for us, that we can come to you at any time, at any place, in any situation. Father, you've been so good to each one of us. Again, Father, today, at this time, we pray that you'd be with us, meet with us again this afternoon. May you move in our midst and help us to feel your presence. And Father, that you would remove every distraction in our midst today, that we would be able to fully concentrate on what you have for us even today. Again, Father, accept this thanksgiving that we offer you today. For all this, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the verses that we read going back to what we learned last Sunday, this is how to study the Bible, isn't it? How to study the Bible. But so far, all the verses and the things that we've discussed so far is paving us a way into how we actually study the Bible. These are just introductions, but they're important to know, right? And so this afternoon, we'll look at one more important thing that we need to address before we can actually go into how we can study the Bible effectively, all right? So we've read in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3, especially in verse 16, it says there, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Inspiration means to what? Inhale or breathe in, right? And so the Bible claims that its words were breathed in by Almighty God through chosen men of old. The term inspiration is used twice in the scripture. First in Job chapter number 32 and verse 8. And secondly, in what we've read, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 in verse 16. Now, in the New Testament, it is one of the terms selected by God to describe the nature of the Bible. So there are basically three views regarding inspiration. First view is that we call it the pagan view of inspiration. What is the pagan view of inspiration? The pagan view of inspiration, they say that the Bible is inspired only in the sense that great human writings such as Shakespeare are also inspired. Okay, those are the pagan view. They say all other books that were written were also inspired. And so the second view is what we call the partial view of inspiration. that some believe that the Bible is inspired in those matters not affecting science, but that there are historical and scientific errors of the Bible. All right, there are scientific and scientific errors in the Bible. There are historical errors as well. That's what we call the partial view of inspiration. That means it was inspired partially, not completely, not 100%. Okay? And so the third view is the perfect view of inspiration. The Bible is perfectly inspired and contains no error. Do you agree? It contains no error. The Bible claims to be perfect. The Bible claims to be inspired word of God. And this is what we call infallible or inerrant inspiration. Infallible, it can never go wrong. Okay? There's not any error. Inerrant is free from error, right? So if it's... Now, the question is, do we have an infallible, an inerrant word of God with us right now, at this day and age? Sorry? Right. Well, what the Bible that we have, it's not the King James is not necessarily the inspired word, but it's preserved. It is a preserved word of God. Okay, because if we look at the history of the Bible, guess what? It was actually, especially the Catholics, have tried to burn all the Bibles there is, anywhere. But they never were successful, were they? Because even until now, we have the true Word of God in our hands. Okay, and so that's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Now, when do you think did the attack upon the Bible inspiration begin? Now, this is a Sunday school class, okay? And when I ask the question, it's not rhetorical, it's inquisitive. I'm looking for an answer. Right through beginning, when? Okay, that's right. Okay, it actually started in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden. Now, we'll take a look here, and hopefully you know exactly, I don't know if this is the first time that you'll hear about this, but it's a good thing to look at it, right? Genesis chapter number 2. Oh, sorry, chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Now, the assault began in the Garden of Eden. The assault upon the Word of God began at the dawn of man's history and centered on the first commandment that God gave to Adam. What was that? All right. So the assault was, you know, instigated by the devil, who took his "hath said," God hath said, right, to Mrs. Eve's. Now, she sadly became his gullible pupil and assistant. Now, let's consider the seven ways that the devil actually assaulted the Word of God. First of all, the Word of God was questioned. The Word of God was questioned. And he says in... where is that now? No. Okay, in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord hath, God hath made. And he said unto his woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, Let's have this dissected, right? Is there anything wrong with this verse? What is it? Okay, he questioned God's word and all right, the devil actually twisted God's word. He already changed God's word because he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that what God said to Adam? Okay, let's go back to chapter number 2. Let's go back to chapter number 2 and verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Right? Now, let's go back to what he said in verse 1. And yea, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Was that the instruction? Was that the instruction? Compare it to verse 16. He said, of every tree of the of every tree, the fruit of the tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But the devil said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. See, the devil actually twisted God's word there. All right? And then he said, the word of God was questioned, okay? The devil said, yea, hath God said. Secondly, the word of God was subtracted from. Some words were taken away. And therefore, if you take away from the word of God, guess what? It changes the meaning, doesn't it? It changes the meaning. So the word of God was subtracted from. Eve answered the devil in verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, Eve answered the devil, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Is there anything wrong with that? We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Right? In verse 16, it says there in chapter 2, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Is there anything wrong with that? What was missing? What is missing? Sorry? Okay, let's go back. In verse 16, it said, God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. What was taken out there? It's the word every. Right? It's the word every. It says there, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, thou mayest freely eat. Or in verse 16, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. So they've subtracted from the word of God. And thirdly, we're going to build into this, right? The word of God was also not only questioned, it was also subtracted from. And thirdly, the word of God was added to. Okay? Eve actually added to. When Eve first answered the devil about God's command, she added the words in verse, by the way, verse 3. Read verse 3 and tell me what's wrong with it, or if there's any. But of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Okay, so the instruction was, in verse 16, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Does it say that? Okay, thank you. Now you see that, okay? Eve actually added to the word of God, okay? Eve added to the word of God, neither shall ye touch it. God did not say that, did he? All right, and fourthly, the word of God was softened. You see, Eve answered the devil that God had said they were not to eat of the tree. What was it says in the last phrase of chapter of verse 3, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Right? Lest ye die. Okay? Eve answered the devil, and that God had said they were not to eat of the tree lest you die. In reality, God had said, for in that day that thou eatest, thou shalt what? Surely die. Okay, so they softened it. She softened it. Okay? Fifthly, the word of God was denied. The word of God was denied. And what? In verse 4. Chapter 3, this was the serpent's answer. And the serpent said unto the woman, what? Ye shall not surely die. Right? So, going against what God said. God said, ye shall surely die. And then what he's saying is, thou shalt not surely die. Right? And so he's denying what God said. Sixth, the word of God was blasphemed. The word of God was blasphemed. For God, in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Isn't this a blasphemy? Ye shall be as gods when you eat of it. All right? And so, so the word of God was blasphemed. Seventh, the word of God was ignored. You see, Eve ignored God's word, okay, in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You see, there was a specific instruction to them. Okay? And because the devil actually enticed them, guess what? They fell into it. They ignored God's command. Yes, sir. Who's the serpent is talking about? Oh. Okay. I'm not sure exactly. We're just speculating here, aren't we? Okay, but what we're reading here is actually so clear. There's a specific command, and that needs to be specifically followed. Okay, and the thing too is both of them are actually not did wrong here, right? Eve actually subtracted and added to the word of God. And that's wrong. Okay? And Eve knew exactly what the command was. Right? She knew exactly what the command was, but she totally ignored that. Okay? And so I'm not too sure exactly what your question was, Henry. Oh, you weren't asking a question. Okay, good. All right. Well, it's actually the reverse. It was actually the serpent. Well, yeah. I'm not too sure exactly how to comment on that because I don't know exactly. I know that instead of going against what the serpent was saying, okay, she was confirming it. Okay, and then when the devil said no, it's not true. God did not say that. Hath God said? Right? And so that's exactly how Eve was enticed. And she did partake of that fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat in the first place. Right? So all these things, the word of God was questioned, the word of God was subtracted from, the word of God was added to, the word of God was softened, the word of God was denied, it was blasphemed, and it was ignored. Is there any difference, or is there any difference with how people are treating the Bible these days? So the same thing, right? So it started from the assault began in the Garden of Eden, and people are still doing it as of right now. And guess what? People are being enticed like Eve. Why? Because, number one, it may be the not knowing God's word. Secondly, it's denying, ignoring God's word altogether. They know what the commandment is, but guess what? It's better to do what I know is good for me. I don't have to consult God. That's exactly what man is doing now, okay? The word of God has been under assault. The theories of modern textual criticism assume that the Bible has not been tampered with maliciously, right? The textual differences are largely the product of innocent mistakes. Now, if you believe that, though, it's to ignore the reality of the devil, that the devil actually hated God's word, didn't he? He hated God's word. And it is to ignore the spiritual warfare that has surrounded the transmission of the scriptures. Like I said earlier, they tried to burn the Bibles, but they weren't successful. We have the preserved word of God. One of the greatest miracles of all time is actually the preservation of the scriptures in spite of the vicious and unceasing assault from its enemies. Now, the reason we're going through this is because one of the things that we need to resolve is we need to study the right Bible. We need to study the right Bible. Because even if we are serious students of God's word, if we're actually studying the wrong Bible, eventually you'll get your doctrine will be corrupted. Okay? Why? Why is that? Why is that so? What's that? Exactly. You see, a lot of the modern versions these days, okay, we're translated out of the modern Greek text, which is from Westcott and Hort. And guess what? Westcott and Hort were the Greek text that they came up with was actually not the right thing, because they've actually attacked most of the major doctrines that we believe in. Okay? The deity of Jesus Christ, that was attacked. Okay? They've done the whole thing that we've talked about here. They questioned the Word of God. They subtracted from it. They've added from it. They denied the Bible, the Word of God. They ignored it totally just to push through with their selfish interest. And okay? So, again, that's something that we need to take to be careful about. And we should be really careful of what Bible we study, okay? So, studying the right Bible—that's the thing, okay? We just set that aside. We're not going to go into detail of the King James Version, because we're gonna have to settle that eventually, right? Which Bible? Okay. So, if one is going to study the Bible effectively, it must be studied in a holy, as the holy, as the inspired, and as the authoritative Word of God. Don't you agree? Now, to be most effective in his work, the Bible student, if we have to study the Bible, must have complete confidence in the Bible. Complete confidence. I'd say 100%. Because if it's not complete confidence in the Bible, there's a problem, right? So if you say that part of the Bible is inspired, guess what? Which one is and which one isn't? Okay? So that's the danger. If you think that the Bible is partially inspired, which is actually inspired and which isn't? How can you say? So we can't, right? We have to take the Word of God completely in itself, 100%. We do not believe that God inspired or preserved a series of Bibles, a plethora of Bibles. Okay? We only have the preserved Word of God in the English language in the King James Version. Now, are we King James only? Guess what? If you can show me a Bible that a translation that was translated out of the Textus Receptus, which is the original Greek text, right? I probably would use the same thing, right? But because the King James Bible is the only Bible that was translated out of the original manuscripts, out of the Textus Receptus, okay? So that's why we use the King James Version. If we compare the King James Version with the rest of the versions, the modern English versions, there's a lot of differences. And those differences are actually major doctrines. And why would I study a Bible that is full of inaccuracies, inconsistencies, right? So that's why we use the King James. God has promised to preserve his word. And we are convinced that we have the preserved word of God in the English language in the King James Bible. There are several ways that it is superior to other versions. Okay, it is superior to other versions. Number one, its underlying text is superior to the modern critical text. We're not going to go in detail into this, but we're just touching on some of the major things that we need to know before we can actually go into our study of how to study the Bible. Now, there are several ways, its language is simple and powerful, okay? So the underlying text is superior, the language is simple and powerful, its translational techniques produce an accurate rendering of the Greek and Hebrew text. As a matter of fact, when you study the Bible,
There are words that you think are, when you read it, has different meanings. But if you go back to the Greek text, the Greek word is very specific. So when you read the Greek text that was actually used in that translation, guess what? There's no problem with it. It's specific. You don't even have to question it, right? It's powerful and it's simple. It's accurate rendering of the Greek and Hebrew text. Furthermore, it underwent a process of purification that has never been equaled. You see, the new versions with their textual corruptions and linguistic innovations create far more problems than they solve. You see, the difficulty of understanding the slight antiquation of the King James Bible can be overcome by a little study of the judicious use of the good tools. You see, we now have, if you decide to study the Bible, it's not just the Bible that you can actually use now. There's Bible softwares that you can use all the Greek words used. Okay, you can check them out. All the different commentaries, you can check them out. But you have to be careful of what commentaries you use. All right. But we're going to talk about that as well. Following are these two are the two serious errors that pertain to the modern Bible versions. Problem number one, modern versions are based on the wrong Greek New Testament. I said that earlier. It's based out of the Westcott and Hort, right? So the Bible was completed by the apostles and received by the early churches. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 13. The Bible reads, "For these cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the Bible was completed by the apostles and received by the early churches. John 16:3. Let's go there, please. John 16:3. John 16:3, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known..." 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So the Holy Spirit gave the words of the inspired book to chosen holy man. He further enabled the early churches to discern between inspired and uninspired writings. Remember those partial inspiration? They say part of that, it's just like the other books are inspired, and so is the Bible. It's inspired, right? So the church of Thessalonica, for example, knew that it was receiving the word of God and not merely the word of man. And guess what? Those from the Bereans, they just not received the word, but they also checked it out if it was true, what they were hearing, right? So the Bible was completed by the apostles and received by the early churches. There was a great attack upon the pure scripture in the centuries. They've actually attacked the Bibles, okay? In the 1500s, the Bible emerged out of the Dark Ages, and the first Greek New Testament was printed in 1516. Now, that was called the received tax, okay? Because Protestant and Baptist Christians of those days believed it was one of God, one God, and had preserved. It is the one God has preserved, okay? So it was translated into major languages in the world from the 1500s to the 1800s. People had confidence in the Bible that was actually preserved by God. So people had confidence in the Bible, the received tax, right? The Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in what? Greek, right? It's being immediately inspired by God and by his singular care and providence kept pure of all ages. We've got so many things to look at, but it's time. So if you have any questions, we're just going to take a look at the modern versions compared to the King James. Some verses and some doctrines that they have attacked, okay, and they have assaulted, all right? And we're just going to go through that, and then we'll go into how to study the Bible,